and our strength, God. We thank you for what you've done for us in Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you, Lord, that even though, you know, we were separated from you, even though the Bible calls us enemies of God, that you still died for us. Thank you for your blood that was shed, Lord. We just thank you for the lamb that was slain. Thank you, God, that, you know, you're always for us. You're never against us. Lord, that you want good things for us. Lord, you have a plan and a purpose for our life. That even though we stray and carry on like sheep, Lord, you're always there, bringing us back. Bringing us back into alignment, bringing us back into your purpose. Lord, that you're always there for us, whatever the need may be, Lord. Right throughout the Bible, Lord, you are our provider, you are our healer, you are our protector, you're the one who leads us. Lord, we just can't thank you enough. We can't thank you enough for your goodness in our life. And we just pray that prayer again. That's what we sang in that last verse, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, just fill us. Fill us afresh, Lord, I pray. Lord, I just pray you just break anything off of us. Lord, anything that's over us, God, that's causing us to feel the weight of a heavy burden, Lord, that burden that doesn't come from you. We know your burden is light. So I pray, Lord, that you would just break any burden, any mindset, Lord, that doesn't align with your word. Lord, I pray you break that this morning as well. Lord, I just pray, God, that our hearts would be open to hear your voice this morning. We come here to worship you, Lord. We come here because we love you, Lord, but we also come here to hear, just to hear you speak to us this morning, Lord. So I just pray hearts would be open. I pray our hearts would be fertile soil for seed to be sown. Lord, I pray that seed would be watered and it would just produce a crop, 30, 60, 100-fold for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Well, a big welcome to you all. How are we all going this morning? We're doing okay? Okay. How are we all going this morning? We didn't have a late night last night, did we? We weren't out on the town, partying on the town. Who said yes? Lizzie. Oh. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and it's good to be here as a church family worshipping Jesus, because he's the main thing. He is the reason why we do this. Amen. If it wasn't for Jesus, if it wasn't for Jesus and what Jesus has done, what we're doing is, it's in vain, really. If what Jesus has done on the cross, where he shed his blood, he took away our sin, he became sin for us. But 3 days later, you know, the story continues. 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. And the Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in each and every one of us, those who have given their lives to Jesus, amen? Which means that we are alive. We have resurrection power living inside of us. Today is a good day. Yeah, no matter what you might be facing today, today is a good day, because if you've given your heart to Jesus to follow him as Lord and as Savior, you have resurrection power living inside of you. And you know what? You know, the Bible talks about death, and death has lost its sting. You know, death is not the final hurrah for us. Amen? Amen. Death is not the final word for us, because Jesus has gone back to prepare a place for us in eternity. That's good news right there. That's good news right there, because what we see here, and, you know, the presence of God coming here, and that might be awesome, but tell you what, heaven is going to be so much better than what we're seeing here on earth. Yeah, amen, Lizzie. Okie dokie. I just think it's a good time to be alive. It's a good time to be alive. It's a good time to be a Christian. It's a good time to be filled with God's Spirit. Because I think, you know, we're walking out destiny. We're seeing things around us unfold. We know that the end times are here. But it's only a matter of time before Jesus comes back and takes us home. And that's a good thing. I can't wait. I don't know about you guys. But, you know, if God created the earth in 6 days, rested on the seventh, now how old's the earth? You got any? Thank you, Gary. Can be a bit of a loaded question, that one. 6 days to create heaven and the earth, or create the earth. Go back to Genesis. If the earth is 6,000 years old, and the Lord's been building a home for us, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be glorious when we get there, yeah? Okie dokie. Some of us are excited. Some of us are not. But that's okay. It's all good. Hopefully, I know, hopefully as we leave today, we'll be encouraged and also challenged by God's word this morning. But hey, what a great weekend last weekend. Wasn't that awesome? And just want to thank everybody who was here and who partnered with us to, you know, to pledge, you know, faith promises and finances for the next 12 months, you know, to get light into darkness, to break, you know, to break the enemy's stronghold over so many people's lives. I just want to thank everyone for participating and being involved in that. And for those who were involved in giving last year, over the last 12 months. What are we in July now, aren't we? So I can say that the last 12 months, because we've seen people set free, we've seen kids being educated, we've supported Christians who have been going through severe persecution, you know, and I think it's awesome, just the engagement and the participation from everybody. And thanks for those who set up and packed up last week, who prepared meals and things like that. How good was the meal in there last week? It was awesome, wasn't it? So good for everybody who played a part in that. So thank you so much for that. But who knows? You know, we're bringing light into darkness, but we have an enemy, and an enemy that doesn't like that. So be on your guard. Stand firm. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. But we're making a difference around the world, and we're punching holes in darkness, and that's a good thing. But be on guard, because it is a spiritual fight. It's a spiritual battle. You know, and the enemy will come in different ways to try and discourage you, to try and stop you from continuing to do what God has called you to do. So it's good, yeah? Well, this morning we're going to kick off a new sermon series. It's called Righteous Living. And we're going to read from Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 21. And so I had the first four verses today. I'm going to speak on the four first verses until I felt the Holy Spirit say to me during the week, I want you to speak on something different. Yeah, so, but it's still under righteous living, and I just felt the Holy Spirit wanted me to speak on repentance. And I think it's something that we could probably all, we need to hear regularly, that the whole idea of repentance. But maybe there's someone here today that you're not right with God. And hear my heart, or hear God's heart through me. God wants you to repent and get right with God. Or maybe there's someone here who has drifted away from God and needs to get back on track. Well, hopefully this message is for you, but I think it's for every single one of us. You know, I read through the book of Revelation during the week, and the chapter 2 of Revelation, Jesus sends messages to seven churches. The very first church he sends a message to is the church at Ephesus. And at the church of Ephesus, he commends them for their work, but he has this one thing against them, that they'd lost their first love. And then he says, you need to repent. And so my heart is, and this can happen easily, is that we can lose our love or our fire for God. Just like a love in a relationship can grow cold, our love for God can grow cold. Just like a love in a marriage can grow cold. From who knows that? It can grow cold. If we're not careful, a love in a marriage can grow cold. Well, if we're not careful, our love for our Lord and Savior can grow cold. And so in the book of Revelation, Jesus says to the church at Ephesus, great stuff that you're doing, but I have this against you. You've lost your first love. I'm not saying that this is what the word of the Lord is to the church here at Smithton, Dream Builder Smithton, okay? But I'm just saying that, you know, we just need to be aware that it's easy to lose our love for the Lord, okay? Our first love. And so it's about, this message is about a reminder that we need to continue to stoke the fire of our love for Jesus. Is that okay? This is the word the Lord's put on my heart, and so I need to share it, and I just hope you have an open heart for anyone who needs to hear it. I hope we all hear it. We all take on board some of the things that I'm going to share. And hopefully you'll hear the Holy Spirit, the compassionate, gracious Holy Spirit speaking through me this morning. So I basically felt the Holy Spirit say to me, if we're to be living righteously, so the theme or our topic for our theme for these next couple of weeks is living righteously or righteous living. If we are to live righteously, we need to be bearing the fruit of repentance. Now, what is that? Well, hopefully I'll be able to answer that by the time we finish. So, what is repentance? R.C. Sproul says, repentance is not just about changing our actions, it's about changing our hearts. Thomas Brooks, a 17th century Puritan preacher, he says repentance is the only ladder to heaven. Now, what is repentance? Let's have a look at a definition. In the Old Testament, now I've got these definitions from the Illustrated Bible Dictionary. In the Old Testament, repentance means, well, the call for repentance on the part of man or woman is a call for him to return to his creaturely dependence on God. And the New Testament definition, so there's a Hebrew word for the Old Testament, there's a Greek word for the New Testament. The Greek word for the New Testament, the meaning behind that is to change one's mind and also to regret or feel remorse. Now, J.D. Dunn, he says that repentance is not just feeling sorry or changing one's mind, but as a turning around, a complete alteration of the basic motivation and direction of one's life. So, if, for example, when someone who is, like we can say for a sinner, to repent and turn to God and give their hearts to Jesus, it's actually, they're changing the direction or the course of their life. They're making a conscious change where they're walking a life that's probably more about self. So all of a sudden, getting the revelation of who Jesus is and then making a decision and then taking action to change the course of their life. Or who are they following? Are they following self or are they following Jesus? Does that make sense? So it's not just to change your mind, but it's also that change is seen in action. Is probably what I'm trying to say. Over the news over the last couple of weeks, you would have heard about it. It's a global news story about a submarine that went down to see the Titanic, or visit the Titanic, and it was the Titans. We got it there. Might just need to flick the lights off if anyone can see that. So is everyone aware of that story? This story is all over the news. I think the submersible had been down to the Titanic before. But, you know, we heard a couple of weeks ago on a dive, I think they are now 45 minutes into the dive, they lost contact with the mothership. And then reports come out that it was a catastrophic implosion and all five people on board were lost. Now, BBC and many news agencies ran reports on this, but they basically reported that the US authorities have confirmed the loss of the submersible Titan, which went missing during a dive in the wreck of the Titanic nearly a week ago. All five men on board were instantly killed in what they called, or what was called, a catastrophic implosion, a violent collapse inward. CBS News reported that the submersible imploded in the depths of the sea, apparently within hours after starting its descent. Implosions happen when objects are under significant pressure. Will Conan, chairman of the professional group, the Marine Technology Society Submarine Committee, told Reuters that when it comes to an undersea implosion, in a fraction of a second it's gone. He believes the implosion likely happened fairly early on into the sub's venture. This is a really a horrific story and a horrific event of that sub going down. But reports are coming out now that the CEO, in one sense, ignored warnings about this submarine, ignored safety warnings about the submarine. And there were many so-called experts when it came to deep sea diving. One of them was James Cameron, I think. You know, he's the director of the movie Titanic. And he's gone down to see the Titanic like 34, 35 times. In fact, he's made the deepest dive ever recorded by a human being, which is down the bottom of the Mariana Trench in a craft that he made himself. That's 11 kilometres deep, I think. So that you can imagine the pressure. But by reports, there were warnings given about the craft itself, that it wasn't safe, or it hadn't been built to any kind of specs, or there was no regulations. There was nothing there to regulate the vessel itself. But the CEO ignored those warnings, and one of the statements he made, he says that safety gets in the way of innovation. But had he heeded the warning, and had he changed his decision to go down, it may have saved, well, it would have saved five people's lives. And I think that the Lord is talking. I think God is speaking. He speaks through his word. He speaks when we come to gather together at church, but also he speaks through his creation. And I think God is saying something here. And he's saying something here about the world needs to, in a sense, the world needs to heed the warning. Heed the warning from the, whether it be the Bible, God's word, heed the warning. We need to come back. The world needs to come back into alignment, needs to come back into relationship with God. Because if the world doesn't come back, there's a warning that people are setting themselves up for an almighty fall. Does that make sense? And I don't think it's just a warning for the world, but I think it's a warning for each and every one of us. And this morning I want you to examine your own heart. Where are you in alignment with God? Where are you in relationship with God? Has your love for God grown cold? Because if it has, God is speaking out today. The Lord, Holy Spirit, is speaking out today that we need to come back into alignment with his plan and purpose. We need to come back and rekindle that relationship, that relationship would start to burn again like it did when we first were saved. If we ignore the word of God and if we ignore God's warnings, we're setting ourselves up for a fall. And as your pastor, I don't want anyone going down that path. And I know God doesn't want anyone going down that path. And he cries out to every single person. And I say this message may not be for everybody, but he cries out for every single person, come to me, come to me. Rekindle that fire, rekindle that flame, rekindle that passion that you had when you first were saved. This is what repentance is. Repentance is. It's if we have drifted, it's about making a decision to say, you know what, I need to change direction and I need to come back and draw near to God. And as James says, as I draw near to God, he will draw near to me. Let's have a look at a scripture. Luke chapter 5, verse 27. Later, as Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me and be my disciple, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up, left everything and followed him. Later, Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them. But the Pharisee and the teachers of the religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciple, "Why do you eat and drink with such people?" Jesus answered them. It's an interesting way that these guys have translated that word. Jesus answered them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I've come to call not those who think they are righteous." I'm not good at English, but I wouldn't have written it that way. But anyway, "I've come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent." So what's happening here in Luke chapter 5 is that when you start Luke chapter 5 verse 1, we see Jesus walking around and he's starting to gather disciples together to follow him. So we see Jesus gather Simon or Peter, James and John. He says, "Come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." And then he comes to Levi, who is a tax collector, and he says to Levi, "Come follow me and be my disciple." And so Levi drops everything to follow Jesus. Now you have to understand this, tax collectors were despised in first century Jewish culture. They were despised because, firstly, tax collectors worked for the enemy, the Roman Empire. They were working for the enemy and they were ripping people off. So they were despised by every single person, every single Jewish person. You know, they were abusing the system. The system was corrupt and the tax collectors were abusing it. They were ripping people off because they had to give money to their superiors, but they were probably also keeping money for themselves. Now, Jesus comes across Levi, who's part of a corrupt system. He's ripping ordinary people off, but he asks Levi to follow him as a disciple. Now, Jesus is not upset with Levi, but he wants to get Levi out of a corrupt system. He wants to get Levi out of a system that would ultimately destroy his own purpose and own destiny. And then Levi makes a decision to follow Jesus as his disciple. He instantly obeys. There's a sermon in that, just simple verse of scripture right there. Not that we're going to go into that today. But then Levi holds a banquet and the guest of honor is Jesus. And the religious leaders, the religious rulers, the Pharisees, they get all up in arms that Jesus is eating with people who are basically, well, as it said in that scripture, "Why do you eat and drink with such scum?" These guys are working for the enemy. These guys are ripping people off. And then Jesus says to them in verse 31 to 32, "Healthy people don't need a doctor, sick people do. I've come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent." Jesus says he needs to be there around those who are spiritually unwell, spiritually distant from God, those who are spiritually sick. Secondly, he tells the Pharisees that he hasn't come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners to repentance. And what Jesus was doing here was being very sarcastic. Jesus wasn't saying, because you are righteous, you don't need to repent. What he was saying is that, "I haven't come to call the righteous to repentance." He's saying, "I haven't come to call the self-righteous to repentance." Because those who are self-righteous feel they don't need to repent. They've got their life right with God. But he says, "I've come to call those who are sinners and need God to repentance." You know, it was like when I was running the rehab, you know, all those years ago, and you would have guys from the rehab being encouraged to go to rehab because of their family. Family would say to their son, "You need to go to rehab, get your life right, So out of obedience to their family, the son would go into rehab, but he's not there for the right purpose. He's been forced to go. It's the same. We had people in a rehab that would come from the court system because the law would require them to be in rehab. I can tell you now, 100%, not one of those guys got the recovery they needed because they weren't there for the right reason. They were forced to go. It's only those who knew that they needed help, those who knew that they came to a place where they were at rock bottom and they needed help, that went into the rehab that got recovery. And it's a similar thing here. The self-righteous, Jesus hasn't called the self-righteous to repent. No matter what Jesus would say to those who are self-righteous, it would be like falling on deaf ears because they think they have their life right. But it's those who knew that they needed God that he was calling them to repent. Does that make sense? Jesus came to call all people to repentance. He came to call Levi to repentance. He calls each and every one of us to repent. My encouragement to you, don't let self-righteousness get in the road. Don't let pride get in the road of your need. And don't forget what the word repentance is. It's to change your mind about things. It's to change direction. It's to draw yourself closer to God. Don't allow pride or arrogance to stop you from listening to the voice, hearing God's voice, and making the necessary changes to your life that you need to make to align with God's plan and his purpose for your life. I just want to share another scripture. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Who knows we're in the end times? Who knows that, you know, as we're seeing events unfold, we're seeing in a sense prophecy taking place. Second Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him." So Paul's talking about the rapture here. "We ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had already come." So I'll get to that in a minute. "Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the following comes first." Sorry, "That day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition," or the son of destruction. So what Paul is addressing here is that many of the Thessalonian church had felt that, well, we're told that the rapture had already happened, that Jesus had already come back and raptured the church. And we know that once the church is raptured, then after that there's times of tribulation. And so the church thought they were in a time of tribulation, which would have made sense because there was so much persecution going on back then. But Paul had to say that the rapture hadn't occurred because there were certain things that had to happen first. One of them was a falling away. There was a falling away that had to take place first. That's a falling away from God's truth. That's a falling away or a rebellion against God's word. That's a falling away against God's truth, God's word, however you want to put it. And I know if you've seen around the world today, there is a falling away from God's truth. And not only that, but there's a common term now that I'm hearing regularly, and it's the deconversion of one's faith. The deconversion of one's faith, where Christians now are deconverting. Are no longer, this is a worldwide thing, are no longer identifying as Christians. Jesus' return is very, very close. Be ready for it. Pew Research Center 2019 said this, or they did a study and they found out that 1 in 5 Americans who were raised as Christians no longer identify as Christian. 1 in 5 Americans, that's 20%. That's not one in five Christians, that's one in five Americans who are raised as Christians, no longer identify as Christian. Barna Group in 2021 found that 33% of millennials living in America and those born between 1981 to 1996 have left Christianity. 33% of Americans, millennials. People are no longer identifying as Christian. People no longer are following the principles found in God's word, the principles of Jesus. We need to be on guard. We need to be on guard, and so that we're not part of that falling away. Acts chapter 26, verse 19. This is Paul speaking to King Agrippa, and he says, King Agrippa, I obeyed that vision from heaven. I preached first to those in Damascus, then in Jerusalem and throughout all Judea, and also to the Gentiles, that all must repent of their sins and turn to God and prove they have changed by the good things they do. So Paul's saying people need to repent of their sins, they need to turn to God, but they also, with an addition, they need to prove that they have changed their behaviour by the good things that they do. The New King James Version translation actually says that all should repent and turn to God and do the works befitting of repentance. So what are the works of repentance? What's the fruit of repentance? What does that look like? What does that look like for the believer? And praying about this, I just felt it goes back to the greatest commandment, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. What does that look like? What does it look like to love God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength? It's not thinking about I love God, but it's actually the fruit of repentance is seen in your behaviour, seen in action. So what does it look like to love God with all your heart, mind, soul and strength? For me, it's about time with God. Spend as much as I would spend time with Sharon. I would spend time with God, quality time with God. Whether it be opening the Word of God, whether it be time in prayer. That I want to spend time with God because I love Him. Because of everything that He's done for me. Nicole shared about the goodness of God. Everything that He's done for us. Why wouldn't you want to spend time with God? Why wouldn't you want to start to, you know, kindle that fire and that relationship with God? I think also it means expressing love for God. I think it means gathering together like everybody's doing here this morning. As we come and we worship, but we're responding to God's love, and in a sense, we're giving love back to God through our worship, if that makes sense. That makes sense? I don't know. Works of repentance, loving God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. What does that mean for you? This is what it means for me. What about loving your neighbour as yourself? What does that mean for you? For me, loving your neighbour as yourself is getting involved in, well, it's loving our community, that's one thing, but what about loving the body of Christ? How can we love our community? Which I think we do really well, by the way. Be kind, be merciful, be generous. What about the body of Christ? How can we love the body of Christ? I think one way we can do that is get involved in a connect group, which I think many of you, I know many of you do, involved in a connect group where we come together and, you know, we care for one another and pray for one another and share our burdens with one another. I think another way that we can show love for the body is to serve in the house of God. We don't serve in the house to go on a roster, or don't serve to go in the house just to tick a box, but serve in the house of God because you love the person sitting next to you. That you love the body, that you want to refresh and bless the body. That's what I think for me, for my life, the works of repentance, the fruit of repentance. It's to love God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. It's to be close to God, to build that relationship, to build that fire of God, but it also is to love our neighbour, love our community, but also love the body of Christ. And how can we do that? What's the best way of doing it? That's what it means to me. Might just get the team just to come up. I'm just going to conclude right now. The tragedy of the Titan highlights an important principle for every single Christian and Christ follower living today. That we need to be listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit through God's word. Listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit when we gather together in connect groups, when we're gathering together in a corporate setting like this. And it's not just listening, but it's hearing and obeying. Because if we hear and we obey, we can spare ourselves from a life of drama. What the tragedy of the Titan has done, it's brought back to the surface the story of the Titanic. I don't know about you, but news cycles would just about everything would reference the Titanic because that's what they were doing. They were going down to see the Titanic. The story of the Titanic has come back to the surface again. And I think that in the story of the Titanic is there's a message from the Lord for all of us. The Titanic, it sank in its maiden during its maiden voyage on April 15, 1912. At least 1,500 passengers perished. It was the largest moving object ever built by man, the product of 5 years of planning and construction. Titanic was compared to the greatest monuments of the world. A leading naval engineering journal of the time labelled her as practically unsinkable. You all heard the words? Not even God can sink the Titanic. Is that right? Not even God could sink the Titanic? Yep. On that fateful night, 7:30 p.m., April 14, 1912, the Titanic had received 5 warnings by nearby ships of heavy pack ice and a number of icebergs. 5 warnings. At 10:55 p.m., the ship, the Californian, radioed to say that it had come to a full stop due to the dense field of ice. Now, when the Titanic sunk, the Californian was only 20 miles away. Now, the radio operator on the Titanic ignored these warnings. Now, he was busy sending and receiving telegrams from the guests on the ship. Apparently, they had this new technology that they were using, and the passengers were sending telegrams to family and friends and receiving telegrams. The Californian radioed again to warn the Titanic, to which the operator replied, and I think this is legit. But he replied, shut up, shut up, I am busy. 5 warnings. 3 different ships. And the radio operator replied, shut up, shut up, I am busy. Titanic surged full speed ahead until it was too late and collided with an iceberg and sank to the bottom of the Atlantic 2 hours and 40 minutes after hitting that iceberg. Just like the Titanic could have avoided this disaster if it had heeded the warnings by the other ships in the area. Let's have a look. We got a picture. Picture of the Titanic. In all its glory. That's what it was built for. That's what its purpose was. It was to transfer passengers from England to America, along the water, in all its glory. You probably can't see that too well, but in all its glory. Can we just maybe dim the lights a bit, Wayne? In all its glory, it was built for purpose. It didn't even finish its first journey. Why? Because it refused to heed the warning that it needed to stop or slow down or it needed to change direction. Let's have a look at the next photo. That's the Titanic today. When you go down, and not that I've been down, but you go down and in a sub and that's it there. Let's have a look at the next photo. That's a 3D model of what it looks like. They've taken cameras down and taken like thousands and thousands of shots. They've also, with sonar, laser technology, they've been able to reconstruct what it looks like today. It looks nothing like what it was built for. It looked nothing like when it was built. It's unsalvageable. It is a complete wreck. It is unsalvageable. They reckon maybe in about 50, 100 years' time that it won't even live and look like that. It will just collapse on itself. This morning, you know, this wasn't an easy message to preach, but I just felt it strongly in my heart. And my heart, as a pastor for Dream Builders Church, your pastor, is that I don't want anyone who's starting to drift away and ignoring the warnings that are coming out of God's word, or ignoring the voice of the Holy Spirit and not doing anything about it, not changing direction, not making a conscious decision to say, you know what, I've got to change something in my life. You know, hear Jesus' words to the church at Ephesus. You know, if you've lost your first love, it's easy to do. Just make that decision to get back. Draw near to God, get close to God, and start to rekindle the fire of that love again. Because if you don't, you're setting yourself up for a fall. Just kind of everyone stand this morning, please. You know, there may be someone here today that you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're not in relationship, but you know that you're a sinner and you know that you need to be right with God. I want to give you an opportunity this morning that you can be right with God by just responding just to a simple request from the Holy Spirit. Would you turn to God? Would you come and open your heart up to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Right throughout time, since Adam and Eve didn't listen to the word of the Lord. They chose to listen to another voice. And it didn't go down well. And what it ended up doing, it ended up separating mankind from God. But we needed, and God wanted us to reconnect back with Him. But the only way that could happen was through someone called Jesus Christ. The sinless one, the one who was without sin, who became sin on our behalf so that we could become the righteousness of God. If you know that you're a sinner and you know that you need God, you know that after you die, where do you end up? If you don't know that you're going to end up in heaven, then maybe this is a decision that you need to make. If you're here and you want to, you know, respond to that message, I need Jesus in my life. Do you want to just raise your hand, raise your arm up this morning just so I can see it? Because I'd love to pray with you. If you know that you're not right with God and that you need to respond, maybe you have responded in the past to that simple request of accepting Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've done that in the past, but maybe you've drifted and that you need to come back. I would love to pray with you this morning. If there's anyone here that you know that you need to make that adjustment, you know you need to make that change, you need to make that decision, do you want to just throw up your hand? I'd love to pray with you this morning. Are we all okay with God, our relationship with God? Are we all right with God? Is everybody okay? Is everybody right with God? If you're not, you need to do something about it. Make the decision. Don't just think you need to do something about it, but actually make a decision to change something in your life. Make a decision to draw yourself back to the Father. Make a decision to rekindle that fire in your relationship with the Lord. Don't leave it until it's too late. Don't ignore the warnings. If we ignore the warnings and the promptings of the Holy Spirit, we're just setting ourselves up for a mighty fall. Lord, I just thank you for your grace and your love and your mercy, Lord. I thank you, God, that you care so much about us, Lord, that you don't want anyone to perish, that you care so much about us, Lord, that you don't want us to fall or us to make decisions that are going to lead to a destructive, dysfunctional life, Lord. I pray, God, that you would just continue to speak to us in your heart, in our hearts, Lord. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come right now. Lord, that you would come and just continue just to speak. Speak to us, God, I pray. Maybe we can.